Ramsey TV.
I made a big deal yesterday about the pronoun he. The Lord, he is risen, which we actually believe that the man, Jesus Christ, did not exist, but he rose from the dead. Who rose from the dead? He rose from the dead. Today I'm going to give you two scriptural examples that prove what I'm telling you, that where the body is, that's where the person is. I'm going to look at Adam, and I'm going to look at Christ. I'm going to go to Genesis, and then I'm going to go to Matthew, and this will seal the deal, what I told you yesterday. So all that is coming up here on this edition of MZTV. Welcome to the show. I am Martin Zender, and I have to share this with you. I got a package today, and it wasn't ticking, so okay, I'll open this. It was from a fellow believer, a viewer of this show, Mary Jocelyn, and I think she thinks I live in northern Minnesota, because she made this for me. Now, look at this. Look at this. What do you call this? A blanket? No. A comforter? Yeah. She crocheted this herself. And she said, there still may be some chilly nights there in South Florida, I probably won't be able to use this until January, when the temperature at night sometimes goes down to 48 degrees. But when I do, I will think of you, Mary. Thank you so much for that. And she sent me a jar of hand cream and a nice bar of soap, and I am so appreciative of that. These thoughtful gifts from you, I was almost going to say I don't deserve it, but then I stopped and think, I said, maybe I do. So thank you very much. And before I get into Genesis and Matthew, I want to read to you an email I got from a man named Samuel Chetty. Once in a while, I like to read emails to encourage you, because you need to know that you are part of a family of believers, and that we all think alike because we're united by a common head. Not only did this man write to encourage me, which I believe in turn encourages the body of Christ, but he linked me to a video. This is the bad part of the story. He linked me to a video, and he said, Martin, you're going to hate this. This is going to madden you, but you simply must watch it. I can't tell you how many people say, Martin, I hated this video. It's the worst video you've ever seen. Here's the link. You need to watch this. So this video is this. It's kind of entertaining, but it's this guy celebrating the VC, the CV19er BC. He's writing a happy song that he's so happy that he's going to be able to take the VC. And his whole family, yes, they're going to line up and get the thing. And it's quite an entertaining video, very well done. But at the same time, it's horrifying. So I'm going to link that to you down there. That's from Samuel Chetty. But I want to read you the letter. I don't think he would mind this. Hi, Martin. I hope you're doing well, or as well as is possible on this bizarre planet. Well said, my friend. Below is a video of a guy singing of his exuberance over getting a CV19er VC. He sounds as though this shot is his saving grace. The tune and basically lyrical theme come from a popular Disney song, For the First Time in Forever. I've never heard of it, not being a big fan of Disney these days. From the movie Frozen, which brings to mind your series on The Intoxicant of Babylon. Do you remember that? Do you remember what The Intoxicant of Babylon is? The entertainment industry, music, videos, film, and how it has dumbed down the world over the years. I think television was the beginning of the end. I told you that. It's the beginning of mass hypnosis, and Disney has perfected it. It's perfected it. So he reminded me of this little video I'm linking you to, reminded him of my series. This was on the Revelation series. The show was called The Intoxicant of Babylon. If you want to know what that's all about, go to YouTube, go to Martin Zender, go to Revelation series and The Intoxicant of Babylon. Fascinating. Fascinating that the Apostle John on the island of Patmos in the first century predicted the dumbing down of society via, if you can believe this, entertainment. He doesn't use the word entertainment. Watch the video, you'll find out. He said, it reminded me of this video you did from several years ago and makes it really prescient. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Here we have the intersection of popular culture, medical tyranny, and ultimately politics. It's everything you've been talking about for the past year and long before. I am not an anti-VC-er. And I think people should exercise their own judgment on the CB19er VCs based on their health and research. But the prevailing sentiments out there give me little confidence that people are thinking for themselves. Here's the video. Then he ends this way. This is the high note here. Thank you for all your great work to expose the establishments of the world, both religious and secular. Your consistency and conviction over all the years of your ministry is something rarely, if ever, found elsewhere. So that just about brings tears to my eyes, Samuel. Thank you very much for that. And I'm sure it helps all of you hear that as well. So yesterday was maybe a shocking video to some people who didn't realize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually died. But I'm going to show you the truth. And this is a hard truth. Maybe what I'm going to say today is even harder than what I said yesterday, because it brings it home to your loved ones who have died. See, I don't go for these euphemisms for death. They passed on. Uncle Bill passed on. Aunt Harriet went to the other side, passed away. All these euphemisms. The way I say it these days is they died. It's harsh, but it requires the remedy of resurrection. Passing on, what does that require? It's not the truth. It's humanity's desire to deny death. And it's not hard for people to grasp onto any teaching that would deny death. In fact, as you've heard from me many times, Satan's first lie in the garden was, "You shall not die." And humanity has believed it ever since. The shocking thing is that that organization that portends to represent God's thoughts and to know the scriptures, they're the greatest proponent of the lie, namely the Christian religion. But if I'm not mistaken, and I'm probably not, I don't believe there's one religion on the planet that does not believe in the immortality of the soul, that the soul goes on, that there is no such thing as death. There's a transition to a new realm, a new kind of existence. You trade in your body instantly for a different one. Anything to avoid that grim reality. Well, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to show you the formation of the first man and what God has to say about him. This is such a simple thing, and you've read this verse dozens of times, but I'm going to point something out to you that maybe you have never seen before. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of soil from the ground. And he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. I don't know if you see it yet. I'm going to read it again. Let me know if you see it. If you don't, I'm going to point it out. Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of the soil from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. Before the human became a living soul, that is, before Adam was alive, when he was an inert clump of soil, God said he blew into his nostrils. It was Adam. That was Adam. It was his nostrils. That was the person. The person of Adam was that inert being before God blew the breath of life into him. Wait, God blew the breath of life into who? Adam's body? No. It does not say that Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of the soil and he blew into the body. He blew into Adam's body. He blew into his nostrils. This is the man. The man Adam was not alive. But where the body is, that's where the person is.
Now, some people think, and they're positive, they're sure. In fact, most Christians think this. So by that standard alone, you should know that this is wrong. Most people think that the person is in the spirit. So when the spirit returns to God at death, they think that's where the person is. But the person is not in the spirit, and the spirit is not the person. The spirit is the animating force. It's the energy of God that animates the person. And I remind you, the person is where the body is. God blew into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. Is the person in the soul? No. Adam became a living soul. Who became a living soul? Adam. So when considering the three components of humanity, body, soul, and spirit, where the body is, that's where the person is. So the body is the person, the spirit is the animating force of the person. When God removes his spirit, the person doesn't go with the spirit, the person is in the grave. Come see where the Lord lays. Come see where he was. And the soul is the consciousness. The soul is a combination of the spirit meeting the body, meeting the person. The spirit comes into the person, and the result is that the person begins to perceive, and the person has his or her lights turned on at the conception of life. When your lights are turned out, then again, the spirit returns to God, the body, the person, returns to the soil, and the soul, that is the consciousness, simply disappears. At resurrection, then, the Spirit of God returns to the person, and the person once again assumes a soul, and life is back on again.
We often say when your loved ones die, well, Grandma is in heaven. When you look at that, this is the hard part. When you look at your grandmother in that casket, I got skin in this game, okay? Both my parents are dead. You look at that body in the casket, and what do you always say? Well, that's not Grandma. Grandma is in heaven. No, that is Grandma. Where the body is, that's where the person is. She is lying in the casket. Where is she? She is lying in the casket. Where is the Lord? The Lord is in the tomb. And I want to prove that to you in Matthew chapter 28. This is sad. I mean, part of me just wants to cry because I don't like this, but this is a fact, and this is a prerequisite for resurrection. You simply must have death. You simply must have people who don't exist. I live near a cemetery, and you know who's in the cemetery? There are people in the cemetery. People in the cemetery. Their names are on the tombstones. Here lies Samuel Jones. Who? Samuel Jones lies here. That's where he is. He's nowhere else. Because the dead do not live. Revelation 25. 20 verse 5. Now it is the evening of the Sabbaths, and at the lighting up into one of the Sabbaths came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to behold the sepulcher. Ah, boy. If Judas had only waited 3 days, right? Judas had only waited 3 days. Verse 2, and lo, a great quake occurred, for a messenger of the Lord descending out of heaven and approaching rolls away the stone from the door and sat upon it. Verse 3, now he was to the perception as lightning, and his apparel white as if snow. Now from fear of him, the keepers quaked and became as the dead. Now answering, the messenger said to the women, here it is, verse 6, Matthew 28. Now answering, the messenger said to the women, quote, fear you not, for I am aware that you are seeking Jesus, the crucified. He is not here, for he was roused, according as he said. Hither, perceive the place where the Lord lay. Simple verse. You've read it a dozen times. Perceive the place where the Lord lay. The Lord was in the tomb for 3 days. This is a angelic being, a celestial being, a messenger of God. And if the messenger of God had known that Jesus Christ had been in heaven for 3 days, gallivanting with his father, looking at his watch, waiting to come down to his body, he would have said, come and see the place where the Lord's body was. But where the body is, there the person is. Where the dead body is, that's where the person is. Shocking, terrifying, horrible, repulsive, sad, but the only possible prerequisite for appreciating the power, the glory, the magnificence, the rescue of resurrection. God blew into the nostrils of Adam the name of the inner being was Adam, because that was him. An object made of soil without life. Where the body is, there the person is. It was our Lord that lay in the tomb for 3 days, not his body. You know, it's one thing to think of these things concerning Adam, a man far removed from us, and our Lord Jesus Christ, a man actually in history far removed from us. But when you think of your loved ones, and when you think that there they are, isn't it interesting that humanity instinctively knows it? They put it on the tombs without realizing it. Here lies, and the person. It's a tacit acknowledgement of the truth. It's an agreement with Matthew 28:7. Our Lord was in that state up until the time he wasn't. The dead did not know anything. The wisest man in the world said that, Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Death, if you want to think about it this way, I want to comfort the living, I'm one of them. The dead don't know anything. They are unaware of the passage of time. They're unaware of what you're going through. They're not fretting over you. They're not in some halfway house. They're not halfway between heaven and hell. They're nowhere. Well, they're under the ground, or they're in the tomb, or their elements are disintegrated. But there's a day. There's a day coming when the dead will hear the voice of the chief messenger, and they will live again, and they will be infused with the Spirit of God, the fullness of the Spirit, so that they will not be able to die again. The future is bright. And it's all because of Christ. It's bright for them, and it's bright for us.